Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Bokorabaka neke, shekorabaka neke. You are holy God. You are righteous King. And there's no God like you, Father God. Father, I thank you that we are redeemed from the curse of the law in the name of Jesus. We break every generational curse of pride, lust, perversion, rebellion, witchcraft, idolatry, poverty, rejection, fear, confusion, addiction, death, and destruction in the mighty name of Jesus. We command our generational spirits that came into our lives during conception, in the womb, in the birth canal, and throughout the umbilical cord to come out of us in the mighty name of Jesus. We break our spoken curses and negative words that have been spoken over our lives in the name of Jesus. We break all spoken curses and negative words spoken over our lives by others, including those in authority, in the name of Jesus. We command all ancestral spirits of Freemasonry, idolatry, witchcraft, false religion, polygamy, lust, and perversion to come out of our lives in the name of Jesus. We command all hereditary spirits of lust, rejection, fear, sickness, infirmity, disease, anger, hatred, confusion, failure, and poverty to come out of our lives in the name of Jesus. We break the legal rights of all generational spirits operating behind a curse in the name of Jesus. You have no legal right to operate in our lives. We bind and rebuke all familiar spirits, spirit guides that will try to operate in our lives from Yokurabaka, from our ancestors in the name of Jesus. We renounce all false beliefs, philosophies inherited by our ancestors in the name of Jesus. Yokunamaka neke shekurabaka neke sheke oramaka. We break all curses of our off our finances. We break all curses on our finances from any ancestor that cheated or mishandled money. In the name of Jesus, we break all curses of sickness and disease and command all inherited sickness to leave our bodies in the name of Jesus. Through Jesus, our family is blessed. We renounce all pride inherited from our ancestors in the name of Jesus. We break all oaths, vows, and pacts made with the devil by our ancestors in the name of Jesus. We break all curses by agents of Satan spoken against our lives in the name of Jesus. Yokorabaka, Yokorabaka, we break all curses and Yokorabaka by agents of Satan spoken against our lives in secret in the name of Jesus. We break all written curses that would affect our lives in the name of Jesus. We break every time release curse that will activate in our lives as we grow older in the name of Jesus. We break every curse, Balaam, Yukurabaka, hard against our lives in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we turn every curse spoken against our lives into a blessing. We break our generational rebellion that will cause us to resist the Holy Spirit. We break all curses of death spoken by people in authority in our nation, over our nation, in the name of Jesus. We break curses of death spoken against America by people from other nations, in the name of Jesus. And Father God, we thank you that you are with us. You will never leave us. You will never forsake us. You are righteous and a holy God. And there's no God like you, Jehovah. Father God, I thank you today that we could call on your holy name like never before. We can say, Abba, Father, which art in heaven, Yokorabaka, and you hear and you answer our prayers, Father God. I thank you that you are Adonai, Jehovah, Yeke Orabaka. You are our advocate. You are all in all. And Father God, I thank you that you are anchor and you will not allow anything to pull us, Yokorabaka, out of our place with you. We thank you, Father God, that you are angel of your presence, O God. In the name of Jesus, you are our apostle and high priest, O God. Oh, we thank you that you are the arm of the Lord, author of our faith, and a balm in Gilead, O God. We thank you that you are a banner over our nation and over all nations, oh God. You are blessed and only potentate in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, Father God, that you are the bright and morning star, your Kurabaka, and your brightness never dims. We thank you that you are the captain of the host of the Lord. In Jesus' name, you are our chief cornerstone. In Jesus' name, you are our chief shepherd, O God. And I thank you, Father God, that you are Mokwadabaka, Christ, the power of God, consuming fire that you are. We thank you for burning up everything in us, around us, through us that's not like you, O God. We thank you, Father God, that you are a deliverer, Yokwadabaka, and that you cover us from the tempest, the enemy. I thank you that you are Emmanuel, God with us, Father God. You are faithful and true, Father of mercies. I thank you that you are our flame, O God, in the name of Jesus, and you stand guard over us morning, noon, and night. And Father, I just thank you for what you're doing and what you're about to do. Oh, you are a great shepherd of the sheep, O God. You are a great high priest, and you are our great light, that eternal light, O God. You are Jehovah El Elyon, the Most High God. You are Jehovah Jireh, a mighty provider. We come with grateful hearts today to thank you for being Jehovah Mekadeshim, the Lord our sanctifier. You are Jehovah Nisi, a banner over us, and you love us so much, Father God, that you gave Jesus, your only child, to die for us, O God. And I thank you that he rose on the third day and he lives forevermore next to you, Father God. He stands in the gap for your people, Father. In the name of Jesus, covering us with the blood, the innocent blood that he shed. I thank you that you are Jehovah Roha, our mighty shepherd. Jehovah Rapha, a great healer. Your word says, beloved, above all, I wish that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So I thank you today that we are prospering and we are in excellent health. We have excellent strength in our bodies, O God. I thank you that you are Jehovah Shalom, a mighty peacemaker, O God. You are Jehovah Shabbos, the Lord of hosts, O God. You are Jehovah Shema. You are there in the name of Jesus. You are Jehovah Tikkanu, our righteousness. O Father God, you are the King of kings. You are the only, true and living God. You are Lord God, most omnipresent, omnipotent Father. You are holy. You are righteous. And Father God, I lift up every person that's on Voice to Men today that's listening in Jesus' name. Those who are listening later, I ask you for blessings to fall upon them from the east, the west, the north, and the south, oh God. And Father God, for those who are not saved, I pray salvation upon them, their households, and your Kurabaka, everyone connected to them. In the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you for the fathers, the mothers, the children, O God, being blessed and highly favored of you, Father God. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for the children running hard after you as their parents run after you. In the name of Jesus, I thank you that the children are blessed and highly favored of you. I thank you our children will live long, fruitful lives. In the name of Jesus, they will live out all their days. They will be sanctified by you, Father God. They will turn their lives over to you at young ages and say, Lord, have your way in me, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, good evening, and welcome to Boys to Men, Girls to Ladies. Thank you for joining us today. Is God knocking at the door of your heart? Is God knocking at the door of your heart? Let him in. Let him in. Don't keep him waiting. Ask God to give you a heart of flesh, to be yielded to him, to be obedient to him. When God knocks at the door of your heart, why is he at the door knocking? What does God want with you, you might ask? You might ask yourself, well, God, what do you want with me? Ask the Lord, what can you do for him today? You know how we have our agendas, our schedules, and we sometimes, you know, we say, oh, yeah, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to do the other. But guess what? Even if you let go of that and follow after God's way, it'll still get done. If you say, Lord, I'm your yielded servant today, what would you have me to do? Do you remember the story of Samuel? When Samuel was a child, even before he was born, his mother promised God if she would give, if the Lord would give her a man child, she would dedicate, she would give him back to God. And his mother prayed for him. And when he came of age, when he got through, you know, old enough so that he didn't need the bottle or weaned off the breast, didn't need that kind of milk anymore, you know what? His mother kept her promise. How many promises have you made to God, and how many have you kept? So, Father God, we repent today for not keeping promises, idle promises we make to you. Help us to make your Korabaka promises that we are willing to keep, oh God, not just in the midst of turmoil and strife and terror, but just to make promises that we can keep. So we thank you today, Father God, for what you're doing in our lives. Remember, you know, Samuel was a child, and God called him. He knocked at the door of Samuel's heart, but Samuel didn't know who it was. Do you know when God is calling you? Do you know his voice? He said, my sheep know my voice, and another voice they will not hear nor answer. Do you know the voice of the Lord? Do you know when he's knocking at the door of your heart? You know, Samuel thought it was a human voice. He thought it was Eli because he had never heard the voice of God. So he went to Eli. He said, Priest Eli, did you call me? And Eli really still didn't know it was God calling Samuel because Eli had kind of moved away from Father God. His relationship was strained with God. He had distanced himself from God. He had disobeyed God, particularly in the realm of, you know, being a parent who was training up his children. He didn't train them up in the way they should go, like God ordered him. So when Samuel heard the voice, he went to Eli and said, Eli, did you call me? He said, no, go lay that down. I didn't call you. He was taking a nap, but he was awakened by the voice of God. You know, some of us are wide awake, look like. We may be sleeping in the spirit, but we're wide awake in the natural, and God's calling us, but we don't even know it. So what is he calling you for? What is he calling you to? Ask it. So Samuel heard, he heard the voice again. He said, Samuel. He went back again. He said, Priest Eli, you did call me. He said, no, I didn't call you. Go lay down. And then by the third time the Lord called him, he went back again. He said, Priest Eli, I heard you call me again. He said, no, I didn't call you. He said, but this time, when you hear that voice call you, you say, Lord, here am I. And so Samuel was an obedient child. He was very obedient. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, parents, you can pray for your children to be obedient. You don't have to put up with their disobedience. You can seek the Father on their behalf. So Samuel was very obedient. And when he went to lay back down, Father God, sure enough, faithful Father called him. He said, here am I, Lord. Your servant answered. So when God called you, you say, here am I, Lord. What would you have me to do today? Drop everything. You know, I tell you what, I bet your President Obama called your house and you saw on your caller ID the United States President Obama. I bet you pick up the phone right away. So, you know, when God calls you, answer immediately. Say, here am I, Lord. What would you have me to do today? You know, you ain't going to be trying to duck and dodge President Obama. You don't know what he wants. First of all, maybe he's calling to bless you with millions. Maybe he's calling you to ask you to be on his cabinet. Now, you know, God may be calling you to be in his service. He may say, you know, I need you to be an apostle. I need you to be a prophet. I need you to be a pastor. I need you to be an evangelist. I need you to be a teacher. Well, you know, that's an honorable call. Now, it's honorable when the president called for you, but it's even more honorable when the one who created the president called for you. What a great privilege it is to be called on by the Most High God. And he called us. Yeah, he do. He called us out of the dark way. You know, them lions, things that we've done, those sneaky things, you know, the little errors we do, little foxes that spoil our mind. He said, come on now, I'm calling you to a higher thought. When he called those 12 disciples, they were going about doing their daily activities, their work, their job, but they stopped. They dropped everything. One of them said, well, let me go back and tell you. He said, okay, well, you're not ready to go with me. So they dropped everything, and they went into the service of the Lord, and they served faithfully unto death. So what is God calling you for? Why is he knocking at your door today? Why is he knocking at the door of your heart? Is he saying to you, you know, I've got something great for you to do. I got something mighty for you to do. I want to use you for my service to give me glory. I want to use you so my glory can go, you know, out in the universe. I want to use you to give me glory today. So, you know, as you say in the secret place, go in that secret place and ask the Lord, you know, close your eyes and just dwell there and dwell there and dwell there and wait on the Lord and listen for his voice. Now, don't just listen. Obey what he tells you. That's how Samuel did. Samuel didn't really want to do what God told him to do. He said, I'm just a child. He didn't want to go talk to priest Eli and tell the Lord. It was not a good word that Samuel had to give it. But Samuel obeyed God. Priest Eli encouraged him. He said, tell me everything God told you. And oh my God, did he know little of what was going to happen to him. So Samuel told him everything. He said, God's going to do a new thing. So wait a minute now. Is God saying he's going to do a new thing in you? What is God saying to you today? Remember, when God comes knocking at your door, it's a great opportunity to be used by God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's a great opportunity. Well, today, the title of our message is Condemnation or Commendation. Which one do you want? I don't know about you, but I want commendation from the Father. All right, you know, condemnation is an act of condemning. You know, when you start condemning, you know, you put down, you know, it's reproof, severe reproof, strong censure. It's the strongest expression of disapproval, pronouncing as wrong, harsh criticism, denunciation, blame, disapproval, reproof. You know, so when you condemn somebody, you sentence them to something. You call them, regulate somebody to a particular punishment. And I don't know about you, but I don't like condemnation. I like commendation. That's the act of commending, praising someone's ability, recognition of someone's accomplishment, an award or a citation given to somebody in recognition of outstanding achievement, praise, approval, recommendation, acclamation. All of those things have to do with commendation. Now let's look at Romans 8:1 in the Word of God. You know, as I said to you all last week, I was teaching my children, you know, the books of the Bible and how to search the scriptures and how to read and to know when someone shifts in the Word, when someone changed the Word. They'll tell me in a minute. If I don't read it right, they'll tell me, Sister G, that's not right. It said this. So teach your children to read the Word of God, to understand it, to know if the enemy shifted it or changed the Word of God. So Romans 8:1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. All right, now, we got to walk after the Spirit of God. We can't walk after the flesh no more. You know, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. We got to walk after the Spirit of God. Yeah, we don't walk that old way no more. That old way is not even appealing to us. We got to give up our old ways of lying and, you know, adultery, fornication, all of those, you know, evil, conniving, sneaky ways. We got to give up all of that. And we got to put the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. We got to let God plant the fruit of the Spirit in us, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, you know, all of the fruit of the Spirit within us, faith, meekness, temperance. It's nine of them, but it's many more of the fruit of the flesh. I don't know about you. I'd rather have less good, less of the evil, and more of the good in me. And, you know, to do that, we got to die to ourselves. So the Bible says in Romans 8:1, now, therefore, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So what spirit are you walking after? The Holy Spirit, I trust. So let's see. And let's look at some scriptures on no condemnation. No condemnation. You know, God didn't come to condemn us. He came to set us free. Isaiah 59 and verse 9 says, behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they shall all wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. God don't want nobody condemning his children. He don't condemn us. Luke 6:37, judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. John 3:18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. We got to believe in the Son of God in order not to have condemnation. John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. Romans 8:1, here it is again. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Romans 8:34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. You know, Christ sits at the Father's hand, and he's constantly interceding. Lord, bless your people. Lord, don't hold it against them. Lord, don't charge this don't charge this particular sin that they did to them. Forgive them, Father. Jesus is constantly interceding on our behalf. And you know, I'm grateful. I'm grateful that Jesus intercedes, because he sees things in me that I don't see that need correcting. I repent, but I don't even know everything to repent of that I might be doing wrong or that I am doing wrong, because I don't know all God's statutes. I don't know all his laws. But God is merciful, and he sent Jesus, who shed his innocent blood, and there is power in his blood. His blood is able to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So I thank the Lord, you know, that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk, get that part now, who walk after the Spirit. We can't walk after fleshly things. Oh, no, we can't live, you know, one foot on righteousness and one foot on unrighteousness. We got to keep both foot on the righteous path. We can't straddle the fence. You know, you straddle the fence long enough, you start spreading so wide, after a while you split open. And then you won't be whole no more. So we got to be whole in God. He likes whole people. Those people who are righteous, holy, righteous, whole in him. You can't be, you know, double-minded. He don't want double-minded people. He wants those people who are single-minded, who keeping their mind stayed on him, who remembers what Christ did for them, who remembers the sacrifice that Christ made on their behalf. You know, I thank God for Jesus because he didn't have to come down here. He could have said, no, Father, I refuse to go down there. That Caritha, she's too evil. She's too mean. She's too this. But because he saw what I could become in him, he said, well, I'll go, Father, I'll go. Send me, Lord. So Jesus, you know, he came down here as a human being, and he made sure that he said, Lord, if this cup could pass from me. But he made sure he went through it since the Father didn't let the cup pass. He obeyed God and went on through with it. So I thank God. And, you know, we got to do the same thing. We have to obey God. We can't just do what we want to do. We can't. God put us down here for a particular reason. He put a purpose within us, and we got to obey that purpose. We can't just come down here and say, oh, well, this is my own life. I do what I want to do. No. God put a particular purpose within us, and we got to fulfill the purpose that he sent us. It's just like if you send your child to the store to get something in particular, you don't want them bringing back 15 things that you didn't ask for. You want them to bring back exactly what you asked for. You know, you even maybe write it down for them. And now look, see, everything's on the list. Just like God had his word written down for us in the Bible. He said, okay, now I don't want y'all to miss your blessing. So I'm going to tell you right now, here is the blessing for you. It's all written down. Read it in Deuteronomy 28. He wrote down the curses too, but you know what? He wrote down the blessings, and I claim the blessings of God, and I thank God for those blessings. Now, you know, when we are closely related to God, we have a union with him. We have a bond with him, and, you know, his word talks about being in union with him, being united to him, being one with him. Romans 7:4 says, wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead. We're married to the Lord Jesus Christ, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. You know, God don't want no dead fruit. He don't even want no squall fruit. He don't want no spots on our fruit. You ever picked up an apple or orange and it's got some dark spots on it? I bet you put it down and pick up one that don't have any. That's how God is. He's like, he want our garments to be spotless. He don't want spots on our fruit. Why would we give God bad fruit? You know, why would we give a holy, righteous God bad fruit? No. Spend time in the secret place. When he comes knocking at your door, say, Lord, I surrender all to you. I surrender this that I used to do, that I used to do. I surrender my flesh to you, and I'm asking you to clean me up and make me fit for your kingdom. Don't you know he'll do it? He's faithful like that. And, you know, when we're in union with Christ, in 1 Corinthians 6:15, it says, know ye not that your bodies are members of Christ? We belong to him now. Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them as members of a harlot? God forbid. God forbid. He don't want us to make, you know, our to be married to somebody else other than him. He is a jealous God, and he wants us to be connected in union with him, one with him. Isn't that great? He could have said, y'all too human for me. I don't want y'all to be connected to me. But God is a loving Father. He's a merciful Father. Now, let me tell you something. He will chastise us. He said he chastised those whom he loved. Isn't that a great love? Hey, you know, we got to do the same thing for our children. We cannot spare the rod for the child. We got to chastise them. That means we love them. You ever, you know, your child ever just started doing things and you just kind of ignore it. Then they do something a little bit more. And then every day they keep adding to it till finally you say, I had enough. You say, come here, go get the belt. And once you use that rod on them, I tell you what, they walk the chalk line. They become just as good. You say, oh, that's what you've been needing. So you know the Father's the same way. He's loving. He chastises us when we need it. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God that he does. 2 Corinthians 11:2 says, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. Woo! For I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you chaste virgins to Christ. Isn't that beautiful? Oh, my God. God's word is awesome. It's so awesome. Now, in Ephesians 5:30, it says, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Hey, look how much we're in union with him. We are in such a great union with Jesus. I tell you what, it just does my heart good to know that Jesus is standing in the gap for us. We can't do it. Mm-mm. Ain't no flesh going to stand before God. And Jesus is that spirit. He was here in flesh, but he went back in the spirit to be with the Father, to stand in the gap for you and for me. 1 John 2:24, let there therefore abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. Isn't that great? That's a great union, to be in union with God, to be one with him. Oh, my God, isn't that awesome how we can just be connected with the Son of God, Jesus. Jesus is so faithful to us. I mean, he loves us so much. He's never left us. He's never forsaken us. He's always, always. You know, we are in union with Christ, and we don't have room to condemn ourselves or anyone. We just got to be praising him, giving him commendation, giving Christ commendation. Lord, you are great. Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for being on that cross for me, because you knew I couldn't bear it. But because of who you are, the Son of God, you bear the cross for me. You know, we can just commend him and thank him and appreciate him and let him know we don't take Christ for granted. Oh, no, 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 no. He could take his holy angels and back away and leave us, but because he's faithful, because he's loyal, he gives his word and he keeps it. He honors his word above his name. And, you know, he doesn't condemn us. We have to offer commendation freely to ourselves and to others, but most of all to our God. We have to learn to love God with all of our heart, soul, and strength, and to love each other. And we got to bless the Lord at all times. Let his praise continually be in our mouth all times. You know what? We got to continually bless him. And, you know, we can't have a telephone pole in our eye and, you know, look at somebody else who may have just a little bitty toothpick in their eye and pointing the finger. No, 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 no. We can't condemn God's people. We got to learn to love each other. You know, Christ is the one who teaches us how to love. You ever met somebody and you just try all you could to love them, and you couldn't do it. But you, when you say, Father, I've tried over and over to love this person, and I can't seem to do it. Could you help me? Don't you know he's going to help you? Every time, he is going to help us. He's going to help us. Christ is the one who is willing. He's a willing, 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 willing servant. You know, he washed his disciples' feet. He humbled himself. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. How many people do you know of that President Obama washed their feet? How many people do you know of that the mayor of your city washed their feet? Come on now. We talking about the Son of God who washed the disciples' feet. They should have been washing his feet or bowing at his feet. But he said, no. I'm going to wash. He showed humility. And don't you know, many times we have to hold our tongue. When we don't want to, you know, lash back when someone say something to us. We have to hold our, we just say, Lord, I wanted to say it. But, you know, sometimes the Father tell me, don't say it. Get it out your mind. Don't you let that thought go. And you love on them. No matter how many times they lashed out at you, you can say, Father, forgive them. You know, look at how many times we lashed out at Jesus. Before you were saved, you lashed out at him. Yes, you did. You crucified him over and 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 over. Over and over. And who knows? We could still be crucifying him today by the way we live. We could be doing that. But you know what God says? You know, he wants us. He wants our love. He's married to us. Even if we're backslidden, he's married to us. He loves us so much. He loves us with all his heart, soul, and strength. And that's what he's asking us to give back to him, our heart, soul, and strength. So, you know what? I want to bless you today with this word. It's in 2 Corinthians. If you got your Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and 7. This word truly blessed me when I read it. 2 Corinthians. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm looking for it. I'm almost there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7 through 9. And what it says is, it's just so beautiful. I just love to read the word. And when you read the word, you go like, oh. You just stand in awe of God's word, especially when he just, you know, you read it and you go like, I read that before, but it didn't have the same meaning. It just looks like it just come up off the page, a new revelation to you. It's been there for centuries. So I want to bless you with 2 Corinthians 4 and 7, 7 through 9, chapter 4, verse 7 through 9. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Isn't that a beautiful word? Yeah, you know what? When you look at the news, all kind of things are happening. War is happening, breaking out in other countries, and look like we're having a civil war all over again. People shooting each other down in the street, people killing each other in their own households. You know, he said, but you know, we're troubled on every side. Yes, we are. We look at the news, don't you? It troubles us. We say, Lord, have mercy. What's going to happen next? When you hear about, you know, children killing their parents and all kind of corrupt, evil, wicked things happening. You know, sisters or brothers, you know, harming one another. People going in schoolhouses and killing up rooms full of children. Yes, we're troubled. It's distress. Yeah, when you look at the news and you hear all this violence going on around you, all the accidents, you know, 10-car pileups and people, you know, buried underground, or maybe something happened, or tsunamis and hurricanes. Yes, we're in distress, and we wonder. We're perplexed about it. We're like, Lord, don't you see what's happening down here? Why don't you stop it, Lord? But guess what? Because we belong to him, we're not in despair. We know that God, the Almighty, the All-Powerful, when it's time, he's going to stop it. Right now, Satan is going to and fro in the earth, seeing who he can devour. You know, when Adam and Eve sinned, that released sin into the world. And the devil is down here on the earth trying to wreak havoc on God's people. But guess what? We are not in despair. We may be persecuted. Yeah, some people are persecuted. You know, I get this mail, and it is from Christians that are persecuted. Now, they don't talk too much about Christians being persecuted in America, but we're persecuted. Yes, we are. We are persecuted right here in America. It may be for whatever reason, but many of us are persecuted because we call on the name of the Most High God. That's the big reason. And in other countries, some people are being burned because they call on God. Their hands are being, you know, cut off, or church house, burned down. They got to run. They got to praise God down in the cave underneath the ground. They can't come up on the street. And do you know it's getting like that in America? They trying to take, they've already taken prayer out the school. They've already taken Bible reading out the school. You know, what you know, we, like I said, we're perplexed, we're persecuted, but we are not forsaken. God, you know that song that says, we are not forsaken. God is for us. If God be for us, who can be against us? All right, so it says, we're not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. Yeah, we may be down, you know, at times, but we're still living. We ain't destroyed. We still got breath in our bodies. We can still call on the name of the Most High God. And you know what? We're always in remembrance of how God, you know, sent Jesus and how he bared our burdens on the cross in his body. And he said in his word, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Because in my Father's house are many mansions. I don't tell you no lies. If it were not so, I would have told you. Look here, I'm going, Jesus said, to prepare a place for you. And where I am, you can come there. Yes, you can. He is not a man that he should lie. Whatever Jesus promised to you, it shall come forth. Now, I want to. I have a special announcement to tell you. This coming Friday, there's going to be a Spoken Word Ministry presents a Good Friday healing and miracle service. It's going to be a live broadcast fed to and from Pastor Rod Parsley. It's going to be satellite. That's going to be this Friday, March the 29th. Not tomorrow. Yes, it is tomorrow. Tomorrow is March the 29th, which is Good Friday. Now, it's going to be it's going to be at New Covenant Ministries. The doors will open at 6 p.m., but the service will start at 7 p.m. Apostle Kimberly Daniels, my pastor, is going to be speaking there. And I don't know if you've been listening, but Pure Radio, every day this week, the word has been coming forth from Apostle Kim or Apostle Danny, her husband. It's Pure Radio, AM 1320 or FM 103.7. So tune in. I mean, she has an awesome word about the seed. Every day she's been talking about the seed, and she's been giving, you know, some of the Hebrew terms and about the seed and how, you know, what the seed means. So, you know, come on live and listen to, you know, Apostle Kim's broadcast where she's talking about the seed of God and how, you know, when we give back to God, you know, the word says good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Oh, yeah, she has a mighty word in her mouth every day for the people of God to encourage us in the most holy faith. She's been talking about like I said, the seed, been talking about the seed of God. So come on and listen to the word of God that's coming alive every day through Apostle Kim Minister, broadcast. It comes on at 12:05 every day. But don't forget, tomorrow night at New Covenant Ministries,
with Pastor Rob Parsley from Ohio. He's going to be, it's a satellite service. He'll be speaking through the satellite, but Apostle Kim is going to be there live. So you're invited to come, New Covenant Ministries. Call them up, ask them how to get there. And you're also invited to Spoken Word Ministries, where Apostle Kim is the pastor at 1445 Steel and Blue, Jacksonville, Florida. So come tomorrow. Good Friday service. It's a healing and miracle service, live broadcast. All right, so I look forward. I plan on being there early. So I look forward to seeing you there. You are invited to come. So come on out and hear the word of God brought forth with powers, with power, with power, with power. All right. You know, we have to read the word. We have to study the word. We can even pray the word, and we can sing the word. Don't you know God loves to hear his word sung back to him or read back to him or prayed to him? Now, you know, I'm going to tell you something. I don't know about you, but all my neighbors are not saved. As far as I know, they're not saved. So maybe yours are all saved, but I need my neighbors to be saved. I know I can't go to heaven by myself. I've got to tell somebody else about the goodness of God and how good he's been to me. So I'm going to pray a prayer for salvation. And, you know, we need salvation in the land. This prayer is coming from this little tiny book called Prayer for Our Nation. This is prayer for the salvation of others. Father, I know that you are not willing that any should perish, but you desire that all should come to repentance. Therefore, I'm praying for the unsaved people in my neighborhood, in my family, and I'm lifting them up to you today. Satan, I command you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, take your hands off of my neighbors, off of my family members that are not saved, and to cease and desist in your maneuvers and activities against them, in the name of Jesus. Dear Father and Lord of the harvest, I claim our city, our state, our nation for your kingdom, and pray that you would send people across their path to whom he or she would listen to and relate to. Lord, I ask you, in the name of Jesus, that you would give that laborer words that this person or these people cannot deny, so that the light of the glorious gospel would shine unto him or her, and they will believe and be saved in the name of Jesus. So, Father God, I bind your quarterback phone voidance in the name of Jesus. I say no weapon that is formed against boys to men, girls to ladies radio show will work in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, you know, we need revival in the land also. So I'm going to pray a prayer from the same book for revival for our nation. We need revival on the streets of every city in America and in the world. Turn the news on. You'll understand why. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for the great sleeping giant, the church, who even now has begun to shake herself from her sleep. I pray that she would awake to righteousness and holiness in every denomination, in every body of believers, and slumber no longer. I pray, Father God, that we will begin to unify under the bloodstained banner of the cross and preach the gospel of the kingdom clearly and boldly in every highway and byway of our nation. I pray that we would not only stand up and speak up, but that we will begin to reap a great harvest in our nation, bringing multitudes to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. May the revival of the saints be so all-compassing, O God, that it affects the spiritual complexion of our entire nation and influences our politics, our economy,
and our media and our entire society in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, it is almost closing time, so I'm going to close out with this prayer. It's a Passover prayer for deliverance from Apostle Kim's book, Prayers That Bring Change by Apostle Kimberly Daniels, and it's called the Passover Prayer for Deliverance. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the anointing of the Passover deliverance. I decree and declare that the last plague is released against the taskmaster assigned to our families in the name of Jesus, and that he would let us go. The blood of Jesus, which covers all entrances of our dwelling, looses every relative of our house. Everywhere our family, our children, our spouse, and relatives reside, the blood of Jesus covers every entrance, and no harm will come nigh our dwelling. 1,000 shall fall to one side and 10,000 to the other, but no harm shall come nigh our dwelling. Father God, we draw from the anointing of the Passover season because we are a believer. This is our heritage and the heritage of our seed. Evil, death, calamity, and harm will pass over us and mine. We commit never to forget you, how you brought us out, and declare that you will bring our family out with us. We will remind our sons and daughters of the Passover anointing and what it means to our family. Lord, we know that you will not, Lord, we know that it is not your will that our loved ones be left in Egypt, and we thank you for bringing them out. We thank you that the Passover anointing is even going back through our generations and bringing our parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, and 10 generations out with us, because the generational curses are broken forever. The anointing is now going forward for 1,000 generations through our seed. In celebration of the Passover, in the future years to come, we will keep the leaven out of our house. We shall not allow the accursed thing to corrupt our heritage. As for us and our homes, we will serve the Lord. God, when you pass by, you shall not see the leaven of this world in our houses, in Jesus' name. We declare deliverance in our houses. God, we have covenanted with you, and we know you not only as El Shaddai, but also as Yahweh, the God who redeems our family and our families and us. We repent for not knowing you as Yahweh up to this time. Today, we know you are one who recovers all that we have lost. We know you as the mighty God who exchanges everything in our lives that is dark to light. God, we know you as the God who makes up for the lost time as you redeem it. We are not bound by Kairos, the God of natural time. We are stepping into our we are not bound by Kronos, the God of natural time. We are stepping into our Kairos, the divine God, timing of God. And time is no longer our enemy but our friend. Father, we believe that not only are you bringing our family members and us out, but you are using what the devil meant for evil to drive us to our destiny. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God, that you have given us an authority over every taskmaster assigned to our family and us. When we speak against the darkness that has come to take us out, we speak on behalf of God himself. We decree and declare that in every situation where the devil has hardened his heart on our behalf, signs and miracles will result because God is at the root of all. Pharaoh is in the midnight. Pharaoh, it is midnight in the spirit, and you must let our families go. You have no choice. Raise up in the night and give us our possessions, that our families and us may worship the Lord. We command the transfer of wealth of the wicked to accompany our deliverance. Let every Egyptian who has what belongs to us be stripped in Jesus' name. Passover was a night of watching, and our families shall be watchers on the wall of the night watches in commemoration forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, it's the closing time on Boys to Men, Girls to Ladies. I thank God for each of you. I love you. God loves you even more. We look forward to speaking to you next Thursday, April the 4th at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. And next Saturday, April the 6th at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time and 8 a.m. Central Standard Time. As I said before, I love you all. Have a God-filled evening, a God-filled week, and a God-filled month. Now, don't forget, God loves you very, 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 very. I could say that word throughout eternity, and that's still not enough about how much God loves you. He loves you so much. So, you know, spread the love. Give love back to God by obeying him. Spread the love that he's given to you for others through Christ Jesus. You know, like I said before, if you know, we got to love who we feel is unlovable. Because we may be unlovable to somebody. They may be praying, the Lord, help me to learn to love Sister G. You know, Lord, help me to learn to love this person and that person and the other person. So call on the name of the Most High God, and he will help you. Who's knocking at the door? Is it Jesus? Let him in. Let him in. Let him in. Well, as I said before, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You know, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit of God. Don't forget, study the word. But most of all, obey what you study. Obey God's voice. He said his sheep know him, his voice, and another voice. They will neither hear nor answer. Well, like I said, have a God-filled evening. I love you. Talk to you soon. Good night.